And a very good morning to you. My name is Nick the Moose Batzer, Commander-in-Chief, tiptv.co.uk. The date, Friday, 7th of November. We're here 10 a.m. every day covering markets and sport, live from the heart of London, St Paul's. Purpose, make you money through thought-provoking ideas, strong conviction tips of short-term trading. As we always say, do not gamble with more than you can afford to lose. Welcome back to the show. It gives me great pleasure to reintroduce Mr. David Lenegas, Chairman of UK Oil and Gas, Chairman Rare Earth Minerals and Chairman of AFRI Ag. Morning to you, young man.
Morning, Moose.
Now, Zach's interviewed you twice, so I thought I might as well hand over the baton for number three, because we obviously have good viewing figures when you come in. What's going on in the world?
Well, we've obviously been very busy out at Horse Hill at Gatwick, and you know, we announced the other day that we'd had a, in our view, quite a significant oil find not far from Gatwick Airport in the Portland Sands. And Rare Earth Minerals is motoring along. We've got Kieran Mazaria in Mexico with our new consultants looking at putting together a 50,000 tonne a year lithium compounds plant, which will make it one of the largest in the world. And AFRIAG keeps, you know, selling more and more fish to Asia. But, you know, at the moment, the priority focus on my day life is what's going on with Horse Hill at the moment. And there's still a lot of work going on with the consultants and assessing, you know, the true value and the potential of the Horse Hill One well before we look at putting it onto production sometime next year.
So basically we've got another, what, 3-6 months of sort of exploring, looking around, generally getting the feel of the situation?
No, it's more time defined than that. The well's been drilled, the rig should actually be moving off-site either yesterday or today. That's about a 3 or 4 day process. We've got all the well logs, the electronic well logs. We're just doing a lot of geochem work on total contained carbon contents. And there's different logging interpretations for Portland sandstones as opposed to Kimbridge limestone. So there's probably 2 to 4 weeks worth of reinterpretation of the electronic logs to look at the limestone targets in the Kimbridge. So once that's all complete, we'll be making applications to the Department of Energy and Climate Change and the Environmental Authority on how best to bring Horse Hill on to test. I don't see any progress on getting approvals until potentially early next year. And, you know, at the moment we've announced 3.1 million barrels of flowable oil target for testing in the Portland and another 16 odd million barrels in the Portland that still needs to be appraised. And that's probably phase two of the Horse Hill development is either a sidetrack or a new well, Horse Hill 2, to look at appraising the 16 odd million barrels in the undiscovered, as they call it, sort of category in the Portland. But the key thing that we're working on right now is assessing the potential for additional oil in the Kimbridge clays below the Portland. To me, that was the big surprise of the well. We've hit very large section of Kimbridge clays with elevated C1s to C5s. We've got a number of multiple stack limestones, which is still a conventional oil play. I mean, a lot of the oil in the Weald is from the oolite limestone sort of regime. And none of us were expecting to see any hydrocarbons in the Kimbridge clays whatsoever. So some of the Kimbridge limestones are up to 100, I think it was 102, 103 feet thick. There are multiple limestones and they're a good source of potential oil. So for us to get from what do we think might be there in the limestones to something that we can actually say this is what it is or this is what it isn't is probably another 2 to 4 weeks. But we're quietly optimistic that we're going to add some additional oils to the recoverable potential of Horse Hill.
Right, obviously there are great expectations associated with Horse Hill, especially from the summer onwards. Unless you're a geologist, probably half of what you said or more, you know, most private investors or investors wouldn't get.
Yeah.
But I mean, just as a sort of a headline, has Horse Hill to this point under-delivered or over-delivered in terms of your expectation?
I think it's delivered quite nicely. I mean, if you look at a number of holes in the UK in the last couple of weeks or last couple of months, they've come up with no oil shows or potential whatsoever. I mean, the latest Burton on the Wold well, which was drilled a couple of weeks ago, and they announced last week, you know, it was drilled on a prognosed 4 million barrel target times two, and they announced the other day, you know, a dry well, and it's being plugged and abandoned and going to be put back to natural state. When we went into the Horse Hill program, you know, the chances of success on finding oil stroke gas in this well were relatively low. You know, we had some confidence when I spoke to you that we would find oil. To what extent, we didn't know at that stage, because the Collardy in one well that was drilled by ESO in 1964, some 800 yards away or so, I don't know the exact numbers, so don't quote me on that, had oil shows in 1964. So to actually drill Horse Hill 1 and find the Portland to be oil rich and of the permeability and porosity that should give us, you know, commercial flow, subject to ticking off all the boxes still to come technically, I think has been a huge success. I know people have been getting bent up about the concept of you didn't hit gas. You know, the original Horse Hill 1 play was to drill the Jurassic sandstone and limestone plays. That was done successfully, and for an extra million to a million and a half pounds, we were then going to drill from 6,000 feet down to probably deeper than anyone has ever drilled in the southern part of the UK onshore. So whilst you've gone and spent £4 million odd drilling the Jurassic sandstone plays, it's good value for money to drill down to see if you can actually find what's down into the Triassic. Now, the original prognosed target was the Sherwood Sands into the Triassic. We didn't find evidence of the Sherwood Sands, but the technical people, their view of life is just because it's not at Horse Hill 1 location, it could well be prognosed that the Sherwood Sands could develop deeper into the basin, either within our concessions or licences or further into the basin into other people's licences. But what we've developed from this drill hole is a knowledge of what we now want to look for expanding UCOG's oil and gas portfolio, and that is very valuable information down in the Weald Basin in the UK. You know, we're sitting on some very good proprietary information. And we're optimistic about what the Kimbridge limestones could still offer us. Now, there's completely different, as I said before, there's completely different logging techniques once you've got the electronic logs and how you calibrate those to look at the limestones. And there's about three or four consultants working on that at the moment. We've only just completed the logging run to the bottom of the hole on the weekend, and it takes some time to splice all those logs together and then reprocess them through the computers. So, the next couple of weeks, we should have a lot more information about what Horse Hill 1 actually has to offer us.
Right, and I mean, you pointed out earlier to me before the show started that UCOG doesn't have everything on Horse Hill. It's not just like a binary situation that you find something and it's a bonanza. You don't find something and it's a disaster. You're not in that sort of.
Look, UCOG's mandate is to become a sizable in time oil and gas player in the UK. So Horse Hill is just one of our assets, and we've got a strong balance sheet. We've got a great debt facility that's available to us, and we've now got production from Avington and Horndean. So already we're a producer in the UK generating cash flow. And Horse Hill, as with the other consortium members, is just merely a part of that portfolio. And I don't write Horse Hill off at all. I mean, we've said openly on a number of news releases that we regard this as having the potential to be commercial. That's an outstanding success. And we haven't finished assessing the full potentiality of this project yet. But we're also very excited about what we acquired from Northern Petroleum. And, to be a producer through Horndean and Avington's a great result. And we're just assessing what other assets we've picked up from the Northern portfolio, which we've already indicated have got significant exploration upside for us. And UCOG, in conjunction with Solo Oil and Angus Energy, bid for basically the half of Isle of Wight onshore to complement our Isle of Wight offshore assets that we're operatorship of. So I see UCOG's got a great future going ahead.
So this is not, I mean, this is a work in progress. It's not time to sing victory or start crying into your beer either. You know, you would come back in a couple of months or two or three months to Tip TV, have an interview, and just, you know, you'd have a much better, you know, we'd all have a much better understanding of what's down there and what the potential is.
I don't have an understanding of what's down there. All I know is the consultants have said there is extra potential in the Kimbridge limestones. And until such time as the consultants tell us what we're looking at, the potential of it, we're all guessing. But right now we're sitting there with a 20 million barrel target in the Portland. Fantastic.
And that's still on, and that's, there's nothing.
Fantastic. Nothing's changed.
All right, well, let's move on to less contentious issues. Afriag and, let's start with Afriag, one of your other companies.
Well, I mean, Afriag was always a company that, you know, I was going to set up to be, and I've mentioned in the past, my new Lonro, using some of the knowledge that I'd used with Lonro and, you know, some of the pros and cons and good and bad of how to deal in Africa. And it's been a slow build. And, you know, we've set up a new wholly owned subsidiary called Afriag Marketing, which is now successfully selling Southern African fish principally into the Asian market, angelfish, lobsters, langoustines, hake. And we're seeing ever-increasing demand for Southern African MSC-compliant fish into the Asian market. I mean, the MSC, the Marine Stewardship Council, is a big tick for South African seafood into the global markets. We raised another couple of £100,000 the other day for additional working capital purposes, because as we grow the business, we've got a lot more product in the air and on the water, and you need to keep funding that. So we don't have commercial debt facilities, so at the moment we're using shareholders' funds that we raise funds through to keep, you know, the working capital work in progress moving along. And, you know, the prime objective at this stage is minimum dilution for getting sufficient cash to continue rolling out the business so we can hit more than critical mass. So we're very pleased with the way that's going at the moment. On rare earth minerals, as I said at the start, Moose, you know, the world is needing more and more lithium. You know, there's hiccups in the oil price, and it's sort of affecting a lot of oil companies in the way that the market views, you know, what's happening in the short and medium term with respect to oil. But there is zero doubt that the world has significantly increasing demands for lithium. And, you know, we have already drilled up quite substantial quantities of lithium. We announced the other day we're drilling one of the biggest drilling programs in Sonora's, in Mexico's drilling history. That program we've accelerated. We've got two rigs moving into the program. The Bonavista project is potentially vast, and I think we start drilling that in the next few days. Haven't had that confirmed yet. And Kira Mazzaria, who's our CEO, is over with the Mexican team and the consultants working on how best to put together the numbers and the feasibility pre-feas type scenarios and what we're actually looking at with respect to a very large project that at today's lithium global production would represent about a third of the world's capacity. So, you know, we're very excited about where that's going. But, you know, it's a bit like, you know, the UCOG thing. You know, retail punters quite often get impatient and think you can snap your fingers and everything happens yesterday. And I understand their
approach. Isn't it right to sort of, you know, look at the story, don't look at the share price, because people just, you know, going, you know, I got in here, I've got on here and it's gone down or it's gone up, and they just focus on the price where they're not focused on the story, on the story of the bigger picture.
From my experience with public companies, you set yourself on a path and a milestone delivery thing. You know, people will trade you in and out as you go. You know, the biggest issue, and I know, you know, spread betting is a big following in what you guys do, but one of the biggest issues that I see in the retail marketplace is a lot of people spread bet, a lot of people margin trade, and that creates impatient people who want a result that's binary quickly so they can either make money or lose money, whether they're going long or short. You know, from a company executive point of view, you know, we have a build program. I can't accelerate that program or otherwise, depending on the whims of what PIs think, yes or no, I need this information today. So, you know, since we started on the Sonora Lithium project with REM, you know, it's gradually got bigger and bigger and bigger. We're ticking off more and more milestones. We're getting bigger and bigger players working with us to understand and put in the commerciality parameters on the Sonora Lithium project to be a potential big lithium supplier. On the oil and gas front, I mean, what a time to go and put out a news release on a discovery at Horse Hill. You know, the oil price drops 27% in 6 weeks. I mean, it's almost like, you know, you're doomed. But, you know, from our perspective, we take the long-term view. We think the oil price will go back.
You don't have concern with the oil price at all? I mean, that's not something you...
No, because, I mean, look, from Horse Hill's perspective, yeah, even by the time we go into testing, yeah, you're anything from 4 to 6 to 8 to 12 months down the track. Well, what's the oil price going to be then? And if you say, oh, gosh, the oil price is $77 a barrel, I'm going to stop, you know, that doesn't develop projects. We all know that, you know, oil is now getting close to or below the marginal cost of production, and it can't stay there. Okay, it might hurt our monthly revenue from our income check from Horndean at Avington for a bit, but we still make good money. So you've got to ride the cycles out.
We've run out of time, chaps. David Lenegas, Chairman, UK Oil and Gas, Chairman, Rare Earth Minerals, Chairman, Afrigag. Thank you very much, Steve, for taking some time out for Tip TV today.
Thanks, Moose. Thank Thanks, Zach.
Let's take a very quick break, and then we're going to be straight back with the head of trading from TradeNext, Mr. Stephen Woodcock. We'll be straight back after the break. Thank you.